Well, good evening and welcome to Liturgy of the Hours. I should have had these passed out. If you could take one and pass it around, I hope there's not enough. But if you came with a spouse, or if you could maybe share them. So about, gosh, it's been at least 10 years ago or so, Father Tom started and asked us if we would like to pray the morning prayer before Mass. And we have all said yes, but nobody asked him, well, what is morning prayer? He got those books and we began, and we learned by rote. And those of you who come to 7 o'clock Mass, you're familiar with what we do. This class probably would have been better taught 10 years ago. But for those who have been coming to daily Mass, you've got it down, okay? But tonight I want to go through and kind of talk about why morning prayer, why the Liturgy of the Hours. And, you know, the Liturgy of the Hours, not in its present form, but praying the Psalms, began with the Jews way before Christ's time. Jesus, of course, was a good Jew, and Jesus prayed the Psalms. We know that from the Gospels, where he quoted from the Psalms all the time. We know when he was dying on the cross, when he quoted the 22nd Psalm, my God, why have you abandoned me? That was not extemporaneous. He was quoting a psalm that ended beautifully. So In the New Testament, Jesus tells us, pray always and never lose heart. Now, this was not like the Last Supper as words of institution, where he says, do this in remembrance of me. But in a sense, this statement of Jesus, this command, if you will, was what the disciples and the early Christians believed is something that Jesus has asked them to do, and indeed he has, and that is to pray unceasingly. Paul says it in the letters to the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Second only to the Mass, which is the source and summit of the Christian life and of our faith, the Liturgy of the Hours is the second most important prayer that we can engage in. It was so important in the early church that they got together in communities and prayed it. The Benedictine monks in the 5th century, they incorporated it in the rule of Saint Benedict to pray. And it was the Benedictine monks who prayed it in community, which is what we do in Mass, excuse me, just before Mass. Now, I'm going to plow through this because I want to leave some room, some time for some questions afterwards. So just hang on. After the Edict of Milan, which Constantine made, as you know, Christianity legal, then it flourished. One priest, I heard him say that it was really the Liturgy of the Hours, the praying of the Psalms, it was the bread and butter of the saints. And so throughout the centuries, the Psalms were prayed. They were prayed in Latin, and as was the universal language of the church. But I think the Liturgy of the Hours became such a fixture in the church that it became a requirement for all clergy to recite the Liturgy of the Hours as part of their priesthood vows. And so it is today, as is with deacons. Deacons vow to pray the morning prayer and the evening prayer, whereas priests pray five times a day. They pray in the morning, they pray at noon, they pray at 3 o'clock, they pray the evening prayer, and they pray the night prayer, five times a day. And intermixed with that is what is known as the office of the readings, where they will read and meditate upon writings of the saints, early church fathers. There's Augustine. We just celebrated a saint yesterday, Saint the Golden Throat guy. Anybody? I want to say Christofferson, but he was a singer. Christophus, okay. Now, Vatican II changed a lot of things, okay? One of the things it did, which is a beautiful thing, and it's a kind of unfortunately been kind of a well-kept secret, is that the very first document, which is known as the Sacrosanctum Concilium, the Constitution of the Sacred Liturgy, and the Liturgy of the Hours is just that. It's liturgy, like I said, second to the Mass. It is the most important prayer. It is liturgy. This is what this is what Vatican II, those bishops all voted on this language, paragraph 100 in that Constitution on Sacred Liturgy. Pastors of souls should see to it that the chief hours, especially Vespers, are celebrated in common in church on Sundays and the more solemn feasts. And the laity too are encouraged to recite the divine office, either with priests or among themselves or even individually. So the Council Fathers said, pastors of souls, that's priests, bishops, should see to it that the Liturgy of the Hours is prayed. It said, especially Vespers. Vespers is evening prayer. Morning prayer that we pray is Lauds, L-A-U-D-S. So that's why I say it is sort of a well-kept secret. I know that people who come to 7 o'clock Mass and get here a little bit early are wondering what is going on here, and they don't like it for the most part. And you may have been some of those folks. And when you first started saying the Liturgy of the Hours, you may not have liked it. In fact, you still may not like it, and you want to hear a little bit more about it, because you want to like it. And I get that. So I think we should thank Father Tom. He was one of these pastor of souls who made the Liturgy of Hours available to us. So here at Ascension, there are parishes throughout the country and throughout the world who do this. I don't know of any others in the Archdiocese. There may be some. I know they pray it on special occasions, but I don't know any that pray it daily. So tonight, I'm going pretty good. I never did time this, so I need to look at my watch a little bit, okay? So I was instructed by Liz to teach and to instruct on how to use those little red books. When I think of little red book, for some reason it sounds like Mao, you know, sounds like Chinese. Didn't he have a little red book or something? But these little red books are known, as shorter Christian prayer. Shorter than what? Well, shorter than the one volume that most deacons use, and many priests use as their traveling breviary. Father Viet, I asked him, because I knew he would own the four-volume set, okay? This is the four-volume set. It has ordinary time up to so many weeks, and it's, I think, three books of ordinary time, and the other book is Christmas through Lent, or Advent through Easter. Anyway, that period of time in the church calendar. And by the way, Viet is left today, and I didn't wave bye to him or anything, but he told me that he was leaving today, and he also told me that, oh, no problem, I have two sets. He has two four-volume sets, so leave it to Father Viet, okay, to have all the stuff. So after, as inspiring as this might be, I need to let you know that I don't want you to run out and buy the four-volume set, okay? I don't even want you to go out and buy this one just yet, okay? I'll get to that and the reason why, okay? Because I do want you to take this morning prayer lodge that we pray as a parish community every day, Monday through Friday. I guess we're not praying it on Saturdays now, but Monday through Friday. I would like you to consider taking the Liturgy of the Hours back with you and pray it in your domestic church, your families, maybe in your neighborhoods, getting groups together, maybe we could even expand it somewhat and have Vespers, say, one night a week here at the church, so that we could expand it a little bit more. So what we pray on in the mornings from this little red book, Shorter Christian Prayer, are the full psalms and the canticles that the worldwide church prays. The worldwide church prays the Liturgy of the Hours every day, prays the same prayers, different languages, but the same prayers, all going up to God, all praising God. It is a way to unite the church and to unite our prayer as one, as we praise Almighty God, as Jesus instructed us to pray always. Now, the Liturgy of the Hours that we pray here in this parish is in conjunction with the Holy Mass. And so tonight, we're going to go through the full Liturgy of the Hours, at least morning prayer part of it, we'll go into detail. And where it differs from what we do because of praying in conjunction with Mass, I'll point that out to you as we go. Now, don't think that this is something clever that we've come up with to kind of pray just a part of it and then finish up with it in Mass and have this part in Mass and this part in Mass. And that was an idea of Father Tom. No, No, that is the general instruction of the church to do it just that. It anticipated the same prayer that we have in conjunction with Mass. And so when there is a Mass, it's done like that throughout the world. It's part of canon law, in fact. So don't think that you are shortchanged in any sense. So, does everybody have a shorter Christian prayer with them? We're gonna go through it. I kind of feel like a teacher here. I don't know why. It's kind of fun though. So take out your books and first turn to page 13. Now 13 is pretty much just an overview. It's a bird's eye view from several thousand feet of what is being prayed in the Liturgy of the Hours. So this book is really a great instructional book as well. It gives us a bird's eye view of it, and then a few pages later, beginning on page 26 to 34, it kind of gives us a play-by-play what we are going to do and what you do in praying the Liturgy of the Hours. So if you really wanted to buckle down and learn how to pray the Liturgy of the Hours, you wouldn't need to come and hear instruction on it. In fact, there's all sorts of instructions on YouTube about it, and I'm going to give you some a couple of book references that are excellent, and also a podcast and another source for you. So you could go to Trinity House and buy. Buy one of these and just have it with you. But before you do that, hold off, because maybe you want to spend your money on one of these. This is called Christian Prayer. But there again, hold off on that a little bit. Now, so if you turn to pages 26 to 34, we're going to kind of go through that paragraph by paragraph, and then you wonder, okay, what happened to pages 15 to 26, or it's actually 18 to 26. Well, that is a part of the Liturgy of the Hours called the Invitatory. We're not going to really get into the Invitatory because it's optional. We don't do that because we don't have to. And it's just it's a beautiful prayer, but it's the same prayer over and over again. It has different antiphons, but it's basically praying Psalm 95, and it invites us to pray. And it begins, "Lord, open my lips," and the response for the Invitatory is, "And we shall praise your name." If you've come here come to a Mass with Father Bala, you will hear him recite, "Open my lips." And it's an invitation to prayer. However, technically, if you begin morning prayer, as the book tells us, with, "Lord God, come to my assistance," that's, you've heard that you who come, and the response is, "Lord, make haste." And you always say, what do you say? Let me hear what you say. Let me just start from scratch, okay? "God, come to my assistance." Okay. Small little detail here, and it's fine. I don't want to get caught up in this. But actually, you say, "Lord, make haste to help me." I get it that you say, us, because it's you all, okay? But the book says to help me. So I'm just telling you how the correct way to say it, and you're going to get drowned out by us, but say me, and maybe we'll get it. It's not a big deal, not at all. But talking with Connie, she said, now are you going to tell them exactly how to pray it? And I said, I'm going to try. So, and then after that, the priest says, glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Did you notice I didn't say glory be to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? It's another little nuance, and I don't know why, but priests, deacons throughout the world will not say glory be to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's glory to the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. So that's another little thing that you will be you will impress Father with if you said glory to. Of course, when you say the rosary, go back to glory be to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, it's confusing, okay? Again, I'm not here for those little gnats on an eyelash type of things, okay? But again, being loyal to my wife, that's how you do it. And she's right. Then, back when we used to sing at morning mass, there would be a hymn. So after the glory to the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, there would be a hymn, and the hymn would come from the hymnal, and Janet would tell us what hymn to sing, which is good because she does an appropriate hymn for that readings of that day. However, the hymns are actually to be taken from the four-volume set. There's a whole bunch of hymns in there. Hymns, many and many that you have never heard of and whose melodies you have no idea on. But words that are just so beautiful that if you ever gone to Atchison and listened to the prayer, morning prayer, evening prayer of the monks, and hear them chant, it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I think it's a good idea when you're praying this to yourselves at your home with your wife, with your husband, with your children, with your neighborhood, that when it comes to the song, okay, unless you have a beautiful voice and want to belt a song out, first of all, the book will tell you one or two hymns that it recommends for that particular day. And you'll look at, oh, this is great. It's like Janet, you know, they've given you the hymn. And then you go, I've never heard of that hymn. Go to it and recite it, and the words will really be beautiful and moving to you. So that's what I recommend next. So then, after the hymn, you actually go to what the liturgists call the psalmody. Kind of think of melody, only psalmody. Psalmody, melody, because as we pray the prayer, we have a left and a right, a response, left and right. And this is the part also I think we do pretty well at Ascension, but we could do better. And that is the cadence. The cadence is important. So if you find yourself lagging behind or being ahead, don't do that. Get with everybody, and if you've got a good strong voice, get with everybody and let people hear it and not mumble it. It's the liturgy. And we want to make the liturgy the most beautiful thing because it's praising God. When we prepare for Mass, we do the best we can to praise God with everything, with our postures, with how we hold our hands, with everything. So this is the same thing. You are participating in the liturgy as you are in Mass. So I do think we do pretty well. And Connie didn't tell me about the cadence part. Okay, I'm saying that we do well, but we can do better. So, for you who have never, how many of you have never attended the Liturgy of the Hours morning prayer before 7 o'clock Mass? How many? Okay. So quite a few of you, okay? It's a really good way to learn the Liturgy of the Hours, too, but there's other ways to learn it, and I'll get into that. So, at Mass, in conjunction with the Mass, Liturgy of the Hours in conjunction with the Mass, we stop at the after the third psalm, and between the psalms, you'll hear Father lead with the canticle. And there'll be a canticle, then the reading of the psalms, left, right, glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And then the canticle is repeated by everyone. We do well on that. You know that it's the leader, it's the Father. If Father is not here, then, and if I'm here, be a deacon. But you do not have to be a member of the clergy to lead the Liturgy of the Hours. If a clergy member is available, he or should lead it, but you don't have to be one. So I say priest or leader. So I'm going to skip ahead a little bit to the second time, or I said canticle, I meant antiphon. I think I said canticle and I meant antiphon, didn't I, Connie? Thank you. She's nodding her head, yes. So that little prayer before the psalms is called antiphon. And Father says it, and then we all come at the end and we repeat it. And then there should be a pause. Sometimes priests, because the need for people to get to their work and that sort of thing, tries to condense things a little bit. But if you listen to the monks or to a group of priests or deacons pray it, there'll be a kind of a significant pause, maybe enough. We were instructed about a longer period of time to say a Hail Mary, okay, before the next psalm begins. Again, that's not done because of the need to get people to work and that sort of thing, but I'm just telling you how it's prayed in the Universal Church. So, another time that it's actually a canticle, the canticle of Zechariah. At Mass, after communion, we hear the canticle of Zechariah. Father Viet, when he to get everybody on the same page, and I think everybody knows how to get on that same page now, but He's in the habit of saying, the canticle is found on this page, and then on the front cover of the book. And when he says that, people think, and I understand, that okay, we need to say the canticle. He's saying that because we need to say the canticle with him. No. He says that. Little prayer, the short canticle, and Then we all pray the canticle. And then at the end, just like the antiphon, all of us come back, and that's why he tells you that. All of us come back and we recite and repeat what he said at the beginning. It's in the book, okay? So if you can remember that, that also will impress the priests. So, because of the Mass, the Mass begins after the second psalm, and I want to say antiphon, is that what it's called? Yeah, antiphon, okay. And then Mass begins. You've noticed with Mass, there is not a penitential rite. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, or the Confiteor. You don't have that because morning prayer, the psalms, the prayers, takes care of the penitential rite. So that's why there's no penitential rite when you have Mass with morning prayer. But without Mass, this is the time that we go into the canticle of Zechariah. With Mass, the canticle of Zechariah is omitted until it's said after communion. But after the third psalm, follow the book, you'll see the canticle of Zechariah. In the red book, especially for you folks who don't come for the Liturgy of the Hours before Mass, the canticle of Zechariah will be found on the front cover of your of the book. And after the canticle of Zechariah, if there's no Mass, there are the intercessions, okay? Wait a minute. I skipped over something. Before the canticle of Zechariah, I apologize, there is the reading, and that is skipped. We skip that because of Mass, because we have our own readings during Mass, and those readings suffice in the liturgy. And so if you would follow along in Christian prayer, you'll see that after the psalm, the third psalm is a short reading. And following that reading, and usually that reading is not read by the priest or the leader. Someone from the congregation comes up and does that reading, because that reading is either from the Old Testament or the New Testament. It's never a gospel reading, but it's either an Old Testament reading or a New Testament reading. After that reading, whoever does that reading, it's good practice to pause to reflect on that reading a short time. Again, a lot of times don't have time for that. In deacon formation, that's the time when one of us is chosen to go up and give a reflection on the reading, and we don't know who that person's going to be. And so it's good practice for us. And sometimes it's not pretty, but that's how that works, okay? So that is called the responsory, okay? And you'll see that if you're following along in on those pages I gave you, you'll see that the next thing is the responsory. And that the same person who reads the reading will pause and lead the responsory. There's a there's a invitation and a response, and it, and there's twice, and you'll see that on the last time that the leader will say, glory to the Father, not glory be, but glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. And then everybody responds, no, you don't. It's a trick question, okay? They respond with that, the very first prayer that is said in the responsory, which is, that prayer is said, it's repeated. The next prayer is said, and then like the second half of the first is, you'll see it, it flows. But glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, and then you repeat the first prayer. I know, it sounds, why would you do that? Well, it's been done, that's how they've done it for centuries, okay? And I don't have all the answers to that, but smarter and holier people than me have put this stuff together. So then it's time for the intercessions, right, Connie? Oh, then the canticle, sorry. Then it's the canticle of Zechariah for morning prayer. In evening prayer, it's the canticle of Mary, which, guess what? It's found on the last page of our morning, of our shorter Christian prayer. So you have evening prayer and morning prayer, which are basically the same. And I'm not going to be covering evening prayer because they pretty much mirror each other. This is one place where they don't. You have the canticle of Mary in evening prayer, and you have the canticle of Zechariah in morning prayer. So then, after the canticle, and after we listen to the leader read that first introductory line of the canticle, which comes from the canticle itself, after we listen to him, and then all of us recite it, at the end, we all say, and this is another little nuance, okay? We all say, glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Did you notice that I said all? So it makes sense, it's intuitive, I think, that you're waiting for the priest to say, glory to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But that's one instance where it's all prayed together. Do I expect you to remember all of this? No. But it will come to you, okay? Unless you review this video 14 times, okay? You'll get it. But another good thing to do is kind of watch the deacon, okay? And hopefully it's not a morning that I mess up, okay? But kind of watch the deacon, and when he responds, that's the same time that you respond. So notice that in the intercessions, those, again, when we have Mass, those are omitted, and those are made part of the Mass and the prayers of the faithful. And you'll notice that we use this book. And I think that this is sort of an optional thing that is done. It is good to do, but it doesn't have to be done. But I think it's a good thing that we are able to pick up on this book's intercessions as part of our prayer of the faithful. And you'll notice that the priest will introduce the, just like he does at any Mass, he will introduce the intercessions, and it will be the deacon, if a deacon is here, who will lead them. If a deacon is not here, the priest will go ahead and so kind of unlike Mass, where you have a Lector 1 does the intercessions. In morning prayer, if there's not a deacon, the priest will do both the introduction and the intercessions as well. What we do is we add a few of our own church prayers of the faithful after the intercessions. You at home, if you're praying the Liturgy of the Hours, that's the time that Connie and I get out our prayer names and our pages of people who we're praying for, and we pray for and make that part of our prayer there as part of the intercessions with the Liturgy of the Hours. So now we come to the Lord's Prayer. Again, that is omitted where Mass is in conjunction with the Liturgy of the Hours, but it follows right after the intercessions when you're doing it on your own. And it's good to have the leader introduce the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray in the words that Jesus taught us. Or there's four or five different formulas that can be used. And then the Lord's Prayer is said. Following the Lord's Prayer, then, is the closing prayer. The closing prayer is read by the priest, the leader. And then at the end of everything, if it is a priest or a deacon, they will say, "The Lord be with you," and the response is, "And with your spirit." This book was printed before we went back to "And with your spirit." You remember when we say, "And also with you"? That's what this book says, but it's "And with your spirit." And then the priest will say, "May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace. Thanks be to God." If you're praying this at home, and it tells you this in the very first part of these pages, that where you the paragraph by paragraph, it gives you the words, okay? If you're praying it at home, the leader says, "May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen." In addition, there is in this book that we really don't get to very much is at the end of it is, let's see, page starts with Advent. B- 356. And if you recall, during Advent, during Christmas, during Lent, during Easter, we do flip back and forth this, but really the only thing we're flipping to is the canticle and the intercessions, because the Psalms are all the same. And so with the shorter Christian prayer, you're flipping back and forth. And you're actually doing the same thing in the larger volume as well. You notice in the shorter Christian prayer, it repeats weekly. So the shorter Christian prayer on the Psalms, it is a four-week rotation. And I could get into the weeds a little bit and tell you when you start praying for week one, because our church calendar, we have things like the moon, you know, Ash Wednesday, and we're certain and Advent, we have certain feasts and Sundays that begin on a certain day, and on three or four of those, you go back to week one, and you start again. So we're on the same page. So where the week is split up, the calendar is split up on those kind of dates. It actually tells you about that in here. Okay, so I'm almost thinking that for you folks who are want to take one home and study it, if you're really serious, as long as you bring it back, I think it would be all right. I'm on camera here, so I hope it's all right. Now, somebody hand me their outline, because at this point in time, and I don't know if I ever followed this anyway. Okay. So, practical considerations. I hope and pray that you will pray the Liturgy of the Hours. I think it will increase your sanctity, your holiness, and it will help round out your day. The Liturgy of the Hours, the full Liturgy of the Hours, it's not in conjunction with Mass, probably takes 10 to 12 minutes. Morning prayer, evening prayer, 10 to 12 minutes. There is another prayer that I would encourage you to pray, part of the Liturgy of the Hours, and it's the night prayer. The night prayer is prayed at night, just before you retire, before you go to bed. Connie and I, most of the time, pray the night prayer with our head against the pillow. It takes only about 5 minutes, and it is found on pages 330 and 336 in the Red Book, and it's on a one-week rotation, even with the entire church. With shorter prayer, you get kind of a condensed version on a lot of this stuff. Okay, you get the same prayer, but for example, during Advent and Christmas and Lent, you have this 1 week rotation. It has just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the next Monday you start over on the next Monday and that sort of thing. There's different prayers for every day of the week during these seasons. With night prayer, no. Even with the Universal Church, even with the four volume set, there's just a different prayer for each day. So that means that every Monday you're saying the same prayers. Every Tuesday you're saying the same prayers. The beautiful thing about night prayer is that there is a built-in examination of conscience. And so after inviting to pray, God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. Glory to the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Let us recall our sins and examine our conscience. And there'll be a brief period of time. And if you don't have anything on your conscience, you're usually snoring, you know, after a while. But if you've got something on your conscience, then we go through, there's two prayers, and then it's the canticle, not of Zechariah or Mary, okay? And Mary's canticle is the Magnificat, okay? The canticle of Mary, you know, in Luke 2. I think it's Luke 2. My soul magnifies the Lord, except my... How does it start, God? Anyway, it's in the back there. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. With night prayer, the canticle is the canticle of Simeon, where he says, Lord, your servant can go in peace. And he it's a short canticle that again is found in Luke 2. And what I love about the closing prayer, what are we talking about? Page 330 something. So the closing prayer, may the all-powerful, instead of may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, may the all-powerful Lord grant us a restful night and a peaceful death. First time you hear that, you think, but it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So, hopefully you've been able, if there's two of you and there's not enough left, at least take one of these home. There's two recommended books, Everyday Catholic's Guide to the Liturgy of the Hours, or A Layman's Guide to the Liturgy of the Hours. That one is written by Father Timothy Gallagher. And then preparing for this, I watched a really beautiful podcast. It takes an hour. It's called How and Why to Pray the Liturgy of the Hours. I think that's what I put in Google. And boom, that came up. And it's a man interviewing a priest, and I have the site to that. It's an hour, and it's something that I think will deepen your spirituality. And then finally, the reason I said don't run out and buy a book, okay, is because you guys are all technical kind of folks, I think, or not, I don't know. But iBrevary, spell brevary right, okay, .org, you can go to that site or the app, go to your app store and put iBrevary and download that one. There's about three or four electronic breviaries. Go to iBrevary. Use that one because it has exactly the same language as in our books. I say exactly. It has some of it. Maybe have a little more or less than, but it's not different. And when you go to that, it will just kind of take you through it, and you can just follow it. And so if you wonder if you're on the right day, you know, if I'm doing this right, if you go to the breviary and then you click today and then go to pray, and then it'll have about five or six things. It says breviary, put breviary, and then it has morning prayer, you know, it's for priests. It has the noon prayer, the afternoon prayer, the evening prayer, and the night prayer. So evening prayer or night prayer or morning prayer, it will take you through it, and then it will kind of help you get the flow, the melody, the psalmody of all of it, and pray with it, and be patient. Be patient. I don't know if I would have stuck with it, except for the fact that before I became a deacon, I started praying here with all of you before Mass started. But then in becoming a deacon, it is also part of our vows to say it. And so some days you're not really feeling like, or you're feeling really good, and then the psalm is a lament. And you think, I don't get that. And you felt that in church here, too. And you think, this language is kind of, I don't get it. Stay with it and trust me. And especially, and maybe you're not, maybe you're going to feel the same way just coming to morning Mass 5 days a week. But if you pray the morning prayer and the evening prayer and the night prayer daily, you will get into this rhythm, and it will draw you closer to God. I love it because I love history, and I think of the saints. I think of Saint Benedict and the early church fathers, and they write about it. I mean, it's there in our history. We know that it was their bread and butter. We know that. Saint John Paul II, he was so strict about it that when 3 o'clock came, he would stop everything, whatever he was doing, and go and do his 3 o'clock prayers. It's not necessary that you do that. And the morning, you don't have to do it as strictly at this time of day, and at this time of day, and at this time of day, but try to get at least hand grenade close, okay? For example, don't say night prayer before 4 o'clock. I mean, evening prayer before 4 o'clock. And try not to say morning prayer after noon, okay? But guess what? It's happened before, and sometimes that happens. I have given you a total of 3 minutes to ask any question, and I think that Liz would let me go a little over as long as the questions are good and the answers are good.
Yeah. If everybody takes these books on, what are we going to use tomorrow?
Good point. Did you hear him? He said, if everybody takes the books on, what are we going to use tomorrow morning? Well, 12 of us could be all right. So I really thank you for coming to this, because this is pretty, you know, this is not riveting subject matter. But it is. It is. So I appreciate you coming. Yes, ma'am.
How do I know what we're supposed to be on? So let's say I come Saturday morning.
Okay. Okay. Well, first of all, Father Gary is not continuing to do the morning prayer on Saturdays, okay? But all right, Friday. Okay. Two ways to know that, okay? The priest announces what page we're on, okay? Okay. I'll tell you right now, we are in week 4, Friday of week 4. And as a matter of fact, tomorrow or today, the triumph of the cross is actually, there's special prayers in the back of this book. So certain solemnities, it actually has them here. But that's one of the things about the shorter Christian prayer. You don't get all of it. You do get all of it with this. There's 5 ribbons. You'll learn how to set the ribbons. And if there's any interest in going further, that you really want to get into this at home, and not just what do I do at morning mass and stuff, but you want to get into it, you know, let me know. Maybe we could have another class, and it could be we could get into that some more, and I would encourage people to get this book once you know that you're going to do it. This book, I think 10 years ago was $40. It's probably $50 now or more, I don't know. The 4-volume set, I don't have a 4-volume set. I'm thinking about getting one, but then I always thought, well, that'd make a nice Christmas present. But I've had 10 Christmases, you know. Because it has the readings in it. It has the readings in it, you know. So, hint, hint. Yes. And that is the nice thing about the iBrevary. You go there and you're on the day, you see the date, and it has all the mass readings. It has everything on it, and it has the breviary, and you know you're right. So sometimes we double check just for that reason, to make sure we're there. We do the, and so if you've got a iPhone iBrevary, go to your app store. Not an iPhone, whatever phone, you know, a smartphone. Yes?
What time does it start in the morning?
It starts at 10 till, because it actually takes 8 minutes. So it starts anywhere from 10 till to 8 minutes till 7. So it's just a little bit earlier. It's really nice to hear the congregation pray it. And you really do a nice job. Did you? Okay. For example, is a good question. She asked, like, today is the triumph of the cross, okay? So in here, what it has separate intercessions, and it has the separate canticles, canticle to Mary, canticle to Zechariah, and it has the separate prayer, the priest's prayer. But you don't know, because it doesn't tell you and it doesn't have it. But in this book, it will tell you to go to such and such page for, and on a day like, it'll probably take you to the first Sunday of the, let's see where it's gonna take us. That's a good question. So, in the morning, it says to go, which I thought it would, to Sunday week one. That's the one that we pray, if you recall, during the octave of Easter. We're always praying that same one. Night prayer, it actually has it in here. So it has separate psalms that are laid out, you know, over 3 or 4 or 5 pages in here. Some of the saints will take you to the common of pastors or the common of martyrs, or if it's Marian, it will take you to 2 or 3 of the different Marian prayers and psalms. Well, thank you very much for coming out. I appreciate it. Yes. Oh.
Thank you, John. I think that there's a good comment up front that these will be used tomorrow morning. So if Jeff has your call first, you can share that with him. If you'd like to take home time to study it, and our coming tomorrow morning mass tomorrow, feel free to do that. Otherwise, if you're not sure, you can leave them on this wooden case here. And I'd suggest you come for a noon mass, evening mass, come a little early, stay a little late, help yourself any time in the church to familiarize.
I knew there would be an office person here that would catch me on that, okay? Good point. And she asked me to tell you just that. So we have a little bookshelf back there that where you get them when you come in, and when you go out, just put them on there. Thank you. God bless.